Hello, everyone. Let me.
All right, how does this mic sound? If you can just let me know, that'd be great. All right, Missy, you were with me the other day.
I was.
Refresh everyone. Or are you coaching on something new? Or are we continuing?
We're continuing on the general theme of shame. Okay. Couple things about the exercise. When I went out for my first walk, I went on a trail that I like.
Will you remind everybody?
I was being coached by Corinne because I have this very strong resistance to exercise. It feels like it's pulling teeth to get me out the door. And then we talked about how, I'm not looking right at the camera, but anyways, and we talked about the fact that I don't feel good in my body. I've historically had a lot of shame about being outdoors. I have a lot of self-judgment about not getting myself or allowing myself to get as heavy as I did. So I TDL'd it and I went out for my first walk. And I think a lot of those feelings were arising from when I would do that 65 pounds heavier. Because when I went out, I could walk up the hills and I cut the hike time in about half. And so that was the first big lesson for me, was just that a lot of this thinking I'm struggling with is based on a different history. So
not only that, I want to point this out, that we all do this. We allow our thoughts that make us afraid or worry be a good enough excuse to not take action.
Yeah.
And we don't even know if they're true. We're so worried they're true that we're like, well, I'm just going to sit here in utter misery and fear anyway, and get no positive result potential at all. I tell people all the time, I'm like, if you're going to be miserable, you might as well be miserable doing something like positive.
Yeah.
Like if we're going to feel like ass, let's at least feel like ass accomplishing something.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Sometimes though, trying to push the brain is I find a little challenging. The resistance thing. Anyways, the other thing that's been working for me around the exercise is I kind of did a bait and switch with the brain. So I don't call it exercise. I call it movement. I tell my brain that when I go outside, it has to find something beautiful to take a picture of, which I enjoy doing. So just kind of reframing it. And I've also made it really short. It's just about 15 minutes. It's about the habit building. So
I think that's beautiful, tying it to something you like. I mean, many of us, we just don't even bother. I was listening to a book this morning where the guy was talking about when you set goals and stuff for yourself, like even going out for a walk, tie it to a bigger purpose, tie it to something that you enjoy, or tie it to something that means something to you. That's why I work so hard on you guys about compelling reasons and stuff. Because if you're going to say no to food, or you are going to, you know, go out for a walk and overcome shame, you better have a good reason to do it. Otherwise, like you were saying, that default mode, all that arguing, it's like, what the fuck? This is like not even important. Why are we even bothering?
So that actually seems like it's moving a little bit. So in preparation for the call, Corinne, I did a big thought download around shame and actually did unintentional and intentional models around kind of the four key areas that it shows up for me. And it shows up professionally. It shows up in relationships. I haven't like even dated in 9 years because of all sorts of stuff around shame. The other two areas it shows up is obviously the body. And I forget what the last one was. Relationships, body. I'll remember it. But anyways, it's pretty pervasive. And the common themes that came up for me were, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. What was the third one? I'm incompetent. And I forget what the fourth one was. So when I was doing the intentional thoughts, you know, obviously the intentional thought is I am lovable, I am competent, and that sort of thing. And the challenge is, though, or the question I have is that it's so broad ranging, you know, that intentional thought, it feels like I'd have to say that a gazillion times for the brain to like latch onto it.
Yeah.
And when I've watched you coach before, what I really appreciate is you always find these like really nuanced ways of kind of like hooking it in. So I wanted some coaching around how to do that, because I feel like I can do the models to kind of move in the right direction, but it's sort of the nuancing of like, how do you do that? So that was one question I had. And then the other question.
Let's do that one first.
Okay.
I will never remember two questions.
Okay.
I will get like caught up on the second one and never get back to the first one. I think first of all, it's your idea of, well, I feel like I'll have to do that a gazillion times.
Hmm.
Of course you will. Because you've thought the other stuff a gazillion times. So if you're not willing to give as much energy and effort to thinking positive things as you are to your negative, you'll never win. Like, we have to at least be like, all right, like, I want you to think about like a seesaw.
Mm-hmm.
We got like the seesaw that goes like this.
Yeah.
Like right now, your shit thoughts have got like a 300-pound kid on it. And we've got like a toddler sitting up here.
Yeah.
And these are the good thoughts. And it's like, well, we're going to have to put more weight to balance things out. Right.
Right.
And so that means, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it 10 times more than you think you need to. And 10 times more than you'll ever feel like doing it.
Hmm.
I mean, that is like when you guys talk to me, like Shane comes all like, this is for everyone who suffers with shame or lack or I'm not worthy or like any kind of bullshit that makes you feel bad about yourself. This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not willing to spend 10 times more effort on changing the conversation in your head, then don't expect the conversation in your head to ever change.
Right.
But I think what we do is we get caught up in this idea, like you asked about this nuanced thought. There's probably no nuanced thought. It's probably like you're going to tell yourself you're lovable when you want to vomit because you don't feel lovable.
Okay.
And your job is to keep telling yourself you're lovable, but it doesn't stop there. So I want you to think about the model. It has like a few things that go on beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we tell ourselves we're lovable, we also have to complete the model.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so a lot of us, what we want to do is we want to tell ourselves we're lovable and go right back to shitty model and wonder why it's not working. So it's like, tell myself I'm lovable. I'm going to make myself feel love right now. Like, and it's not going to be like you're going to be in a warm embrace. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to tell myself I'm lovable. And then I'm going to like fucking feel some love for myself right now by doing these things.
Okay.
And these things are pointing out how I'm lovable in this moment.
Okay.
Not like in, you know, in general and stuff, but it's like, get so specific. That's where the action line is more where that nuancing really happens.
Okay.
It's like, tell yourself why. So like for, you know, especially for you when it comes to shame, you got it in all these other areas. So much of really changing that conversation starts with such a generic thought.
Okay.
And then it works as the other thoughts are on the action line, which I know sounds crazy, but what we're going to do is on the action line, what we're actually doing is we're thinking on purpose. And that's the action that we're going to do. So if you're feeling unlovable or you're feeling unworthy at work or whatever it is, like, you have to sit there and say, like, this is some bullshit. Here is exactly why I'm okay right now. I'm not dying. I got a body. I took a walk. Like, you know, no one went blind while I was outside.
So this is the action line?
This is your action line. Like, the conversation you choose to continue to have after you've, like, the moment you're just like, I'm feeling so much shame about my body and all that, it's like, no, you know what? We are 100% lovable, like without a doubt. Like, this is what we are. And I'm going to prove it by going to the action line and telling myself, here's reasons why. On purpose, rather than, because this is the problem. If you just keep letting the habit brain talk, it knows all the reasons why you're not. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I got like records and Dewey Decimal Systems. We can go look in like old school microfiche. We got all the things about why you suck. And it's like, it's not doing it to hurt you. It's doing it because it knows no better. And it will never know any better on how to catalog new thoughts until you are on purpose practicing them.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. That's really helpful, actually.
It's a lot of work. Like, yeah. I know so many people join the tribe thinking that the work is going to be being hungry. It's like, no. Like, seriously, losing weight, it's like, I've been joking around with my mentor for 2 days about an email that I sent out. She said, she looked at me, she was like, you're just a fucking genius. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, your email, you boiled weight loss down into like, there's food, there's your mouth, what are you putting into it? Like, that's it. That's all it takes to lose weight. She's like, everything else that everyone teaches is just a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're not doing our thought work around it. Like, we're not thinking about, like, what gets in the way with food to mouth is every thought that will come before the food goes into the mouth. You're either saying yes, 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 or, oh, that's not on my plan. Better put that back down.
Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful. And can I ask one more question?
Sure. Yes. Let's go to number two.
Okay. So in the last few days, what I've been observing is this constant critical judgment. So if I feel shame about the house, the way the relationships or work, then what my brain does is it constantly tracks on it. Oh, look, you dropped that on the ground. That's because you're so disorganized or whatever. So I can't TDL in the moment. So, and this is like, if I have 64,000 thoughts a day, a large percentage of them is this dialogue. And so I was wondering, like in the moment, like, what's the quickest way that you found to kind of help break that cycle, or at least start to do the pattern?
I just always say that's a bullshit thought. I mean, like, literally, this is the thing. If you don't have time to, like, this is the shortest cut to, like, changing how you're thinking. Everything that you think is not true. Mm-hmm. All of it. Like, 100% of everything we think. Like, if you think I'm beautiful, it's not even true. Mm-hmm. It's just something that you decided to think. If you think I'm wise, it's not even true. It's just, you've just decided, hey, she's pretty smart. So understanding that everything is simply like something I've decided to think, that's all that's really ever happening. So when you can get it at a foundational level like that, and you don't have a time to, like, dig in and figure out why you're choosing this and everything, you can always just be like, I dropped a spoon. I'm so disorganized. Well, that's a funny way to look at that. I'm sure somebody else in the world, I'm sure someone super organized has dropped a spoon before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just in those moments constantly just, if all of you could just decide that there's not one single thing you ever think that's true, like if everybody would just agree to that, you would be on the shortcut Orient Express to fixing everything you think. Because what most of us do is we spend way too much time trying to hang on to everything. Like, well, let me prove to you why I should have so much shame. You know, I like gain some weight back, don't you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that's another thought. Like, I gained some weight back is a perspective of how much you weigh now. Mm-hmm. The only thing we have is the number on the scale. Your perspective is, well, I used to weigh this. And we trick ourselves into thinking, no, it's true. But it's like, if a sentence feels shitty, then we know that it's a thought and it's not a circumstance.
Okay.
Because, like, I don't know how much you weigh. Let's pretend you weigh. What do you weigh? Do you care?
I weigh 219 and I'm hitting Wonderland in October.
There you go. All right. Well, and that's a much better way. Like, when we think about 219, like, it's a number. If I just threw out to everyone 219, some people would think, like, are you lowering the membership? Is it just going to be 219? Like, I mean, that's what we forget. Like, your weight is simply 219. It could mean anything. Your thought right now is, and I'll be in Wonderland by October, which is very different than someone who'll be like, 219. Well, I used to weigh 180.
Yeah.
It's always a perspective. And so that's why we have to be super conscious of just, every single thing is a lot of random sentences. And if I don't like how I feel, just remind yourself, Like a lot of times, the two things I tell myself is, it is a really bullshitty way of looking at it. Stop that. Like I do that a lot. My mentor is always going, stop that, like that. And I tell myself like, that is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Of all the things you could think right now about your handwriting, we're going to think it's sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's handwriting. And mm-hmm. it's the same thing. It's like in the moments, if you can clean up, all of you, because God, it is so pervasive for women, especially for us to just be a critic to ourselves. And we've gotten super saturated with this, with social media and stuff. Like you know, we're all in an age now. I mean, I was having a conversation yesterday, 20 years ago, none of this was really happening. Mm-hmm. We thought magazines were bad. Oh no. Because those had to be delivered to the house, or you had to go to the grocery store to figure out how to feel bad about yourself. Now, like, my phone's ringing. Oh, wait, let me check Facebook. Now I feel really bad about myself. I mean, it's just it's everywhere. It's opportunity, you know, rich. Yeah. And so we have to be very on to ourselves now. Mm-hmm. We have to be conscious of what we're thinking. More so than we ever have. And we don't need to look at that as a bad thing, because we also can turn these off. Mm-hmm. We also can use them as ways to trigger ourselves to think better about ourselves, unfollow mm-hmm. shit, whatever. We just have to remember, it's like, we're just in a day and age now where this is what it is. And let's not be angry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be, you know, let's not wait on Gen X to figure it out. Let's be the generation, all of us, you know, 45 and plus, figure out how we feel better about ourselves, no matter what, even with years of conditioning, you know? Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of a high horse that I'm on right now about like,
well, that's a good high horse.
Oh, like I just like, my brain is in fuego right now about, we've got to believe better of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that most of us don't want to show up to work for it. We mm-hmm. want it to just happen. We want the model to just like, kick in and work. Like we get frustrated when I've been like telling myself nice things, Corinne, for like, I'm going to tell you like 2 weeks. Why is my life not changed? It's like, because it's going to take till you go to the grave. Are you signed up to do it till you go to the grave? If you are, we can work with this.
So, I just want to say before we close, first of all, thank you. This is excellent. It's given me a lot to work on. I'm not exaggerating. I've been in therapy almost for 40 years. So doing thought work is a piece of cake compared to that.
Right. Right. So,
yeah. If it gets me out of therapy, I'm like, yeah, I'm all in. So
just keep doing it. Keep doing it. I'm going to tell you, it's been such a game changer for me. I mean, I was in and out of therapy. I wasn't in it for 40 years, but I was in and out of it since the age of 16. Actually, if you count the very first group therapy I went to, I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like, I get it. And this has been probably the best thing that's ever happened to me in terms of figuring out my life and figuring out who I want to be for me. Not like what I want to even call. I mean, I know that I do great things and stuff, but I literally sit around more and take stock in how I feel better about myself and so grateful for it than I ever spend time thinking like, you know, look at me growing business and changing lives all the time. Like that is such a small piece. It's like, I appreciate it, but the way I feel about me, it's all worth it. Like just to be free of feeling so broken.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad I don't go through life feeling broken anymore. I have moments where I think broken thoughts, but I never feel broken anymore. And that is like everything.
I'll tell you, Corinne, and then I'll say goodbye so other people can get on. I would rather never lose a pound and have that result of not feeling broken. That's far more important to me. So thanks. Wait,
you are doing everything you need to do. Trust me. You're doing the work. And especially when somebody can come in and say, well, I ran my models this morning. I know you're doing the work. So,
okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye bye. Let's see. Oh, I got to go way up here. I've changed how I'm doing. I'm trying something. I don't know if anybody can see, but I'm trying something new. I'm putting me on big screen because we want to edit some of these and maybe just have like, because I know a lot of you don't want to be shared everywhere and stuff. So, all right, Emily, let's try this again. Allison, I will be, I think you didn't send it to, you just sent it to panelists. Hey guys, when you do these calls, if you will make sure if you're chatting, if you will put rather than all panelists and attendees, then everybody will get to see it, and, including Betsy. So Allison, when I call on you, that's when you'll have the opportunity to come on camera and unmute yourself. For now, you're just over here with the gallery of people's watching. All right, lady, what are we talking about today?
Hi, Corinne. I'm excited to talk today. I've been thinking about it a whole bunch, and there's so many different places to start, but I think I've narrowed it down. So I struggle with TDLs. I do them, but I feel like I don't get a lot of
meat.
Yes. And I talk about the same things over and over again. So I really started thinking about, so I was really close to Queen's Club and had been for a couple of weeks, and got there on Thursday. So I'm really,
I had two different people. Like, there was another lady at the Dallas meetup, and she got there Thursday too.
Oh, good. Thursday was a good day.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day.
Yeah. And it was, you know, for a couple of weeks, it was like 2.5-ish pounds, and it was really driving me nuts, like why this wasn't happening for me. And so I really started thinking about it some more. One of the things that I have struggled with for a long time, and the last caller or person just was talking about being in therapy, which is something I haven't been in for 40 years, but for about 10 on and off. And the common theme there for me, and this was coming up again, was this feeling of not being allowed to take up space. And I feel like sometimes when I get close to a goal, I start to feel that way again. Like there's other people that need my time, or there's other things that need my time. And I it's hard for me to ask for help, or even in my own mind. I don't know if that's making sense. Even
but like, what does that have to do with your eating?
Well, I think that I turn to food to comfort that a little bit. It's gotten so much better, especially since joining the tribe. I tried to narrow this down to one example.
Let's do something specific. That'll be helpful.
Yeah. So with this whole thing with Queen's Club, I was feeling really close to it. And one of the things that I did was put exercise back in. So I was a CrossFitter for 6 years, was like religious about it and loved it. And then a series of things happened, and I sort of fell out of, not out of love with CrossFit, but I moved. So I went to a new gym, and that's where I started to feel that feeling again of this taking up space. So for about 5 years, I was at a gym that I was very, very comfortable at, knew all the people, felt real good about being able to do all the workouts. And now I'm in a new place, same type of working out, but I don't know anybody. So, you know, getting to know those coaches and how to ask questions and being allowing myself to think, okay, you pay money to be here. You can ask questions. You can ask for specific things.
Okay.
So
what is the problem, you think?
What do I think the problem is? It's like a... My accountability partner, one of them asked me if it felt like it was because of my weight. And I feel like sometimes maybe like there's a little bit of embarrassment or shame around that, but it's something I've really dealt with my whole life. Like this feeling of needing this, like needing to be quiet and wait for everyone else to get their turn first. And then it can be my turn.
So why is that wrong? Like, what if that's okay? You describe it as if it's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's because sometimes I want to be the one that takes up space. And I know I'm like using it as this overarching thing. Like
that's a useful thought for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to be the person who takes up space. Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
That feels terrible.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why you keep refusing to do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't landed on the idea that this concept you're married to may not really be a concept. What if it's okay to be the kind of person who's like, I go to a new gym. I'm uncomfortable. I'm like all the other humans. I don't know where I fit in yet. I got to figure it out. I'm just going to keep showing up feeling like fucking ass until I start feeling more comfortable and I'm willing to ask a question. Like, what if you're just not broken and that's just you?
I think that would feel better.
It may feel a lot less pressure if you don't have to become someone completely different than who you are.
Right. Yeah.
I think I see this a lot that happens is that we interpret when we're uncomfortable and when we're nervous and we're worried about what other people think and stuff. And oh God, I was coaching on this earlier. We interpret that as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like something's wrong. Something must be wrong with me because I'm going through this. And it's like, welcome to being a human. Let me explain to you how the brain works. And I know this sounds crazy. I talk about this primitive shit all the time, but guys, I'm going to tell you, we are not as evolved as we all think we are. Back in the way day, the primitive day, the brain literally had to size you up next to everybody else to figure out if you were going to be the first or last to get eaten. So it's wired literally to decide where are we at in this pack? Because if I'm going to be the first to get eaten, I need to figure out a new strategy. Like I need to like find someone thinner than me who looks frail and throw them out of the cave. That's how, like you can watch animals do this. Mm-hmm. So the only difference really between us and animals is we have a lot of feelings, but you will see like when a cat or a dog or some, like they have a litter and they have a runt, what do they do? Shove the runt out of the way. They need the rest of them to eat and survive. Mm-hmm. They make a very binary decision. The only thing that hoses us is we actually have feelings and a reasoning brain. So when our brain goes to the primitive side of it and says, hey, I need to figure out where I am in this new gym. I need to like size myself up. Our brains are wired for judgment. It's like, oh my God, she's thinner than me and stronger than me. Oh my God, I'm in this new gym. Like, no, everybody's going to think I'm terrible. Like it starts trying to protect itself. And then for some of us, we start going into judgment mode. Like, let me see if I can find someone who else is way more out of shape than me so I can feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. And we judge ourselves as if we're a terrible person or broken or we're taking up space, whatever we call it, rather than just saying, it's very normal to walk into a gym. It's very normal for my brain to go haywire. Mm-hmm. I am not the kind of person who loves new places. I get that about me. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to feel uncomfortable for a few visits. And then I'm going to ask a question at some point once I get over the initial overwhelm. But I'm going to keep going and I'm refusing to believe something's wrong with me because this is happening.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to become the kind of person who can take up lots of space. Mm-hmm. I also don't need to believe that I'm the kind of person that doesn't take up space. I'm just a person.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's helpful. And sometimes I've been working on that and I talk to myself literally like, you're able to do this. You can ask a question. You're not only can you, but you deserve to, and all of that. What I've noticed is especially with the work that I've been doing in PMP recently is when I get close to a goal I want, like Queen's Club, it's almost like that thought will take over more than it should. And in this particular situation, I recently got a Peloton, which is like so fun and have been loving it, right? And doing all the workouts with that and really enjoying it and loving that it's in my house and thinking, okay, I'm going to follow my plans. I'm going to do these Peloton workouts. I can have control over that and kind of push that thought out for a little bit and focus on reaching this goal of Queen's Club. And then it's almost like the brakes got put on it again. And I could find something wrong with, well, now I don't have to go to the gym and like worry about this.
What brakes were put on? I'm trying to figure this piece out because it's really not adding up.
I know. And that's the hard piece for me.
Tell me, like, so it took you 2 weeks to get into Queen's Club when it should have taken you one. Like, tell me what was going on with that.
It took about 3 weeks.
Okay.
When on average, I've been losing 2 to 2.5 pounds since I joined in January.
Okay. So you joined in January. How much weight have you lost total?
25.
Oh, yeah. Queen's Club shit.
That's okay.
Oh my God. I'm so like a boo-boo the fool when it comes to the math.
That's okay.
All right. So for 3 weeks, you didn't lose weight. Why? I don't want thoughts. I want actions.
Yep. So I've gone back and I've looked at my plans. So my accountability group and I have been challenging ourselves to do 100 plans. So today is plan 94. So thanks. And a couple things happened. I went on a trip and I think that contributed a little bit. You know, I was fairly good on plan, but not perfect. I wasn't home, et cetera. And I also noticed a couple of those days too, where I wasn't sleeping like I should be.
So we had a trip, we had sleep. What else?
Mm-hmm. I had some things going on at work.
What does it have to do with, I want to know,
right,
why
right,
3 weeks you weren't losing weight. So yeah. We weren't getting our sleep. We went on a trip and we ate off plan.
Yes.
What else?
The things going on at work set me off of plan some as well, but not just like,
tell me how that happened. I've do you have this weird job where they force feed you? It's like, no. Oh, this is the week we force feed. Sorry. Yeah. I know you're trying to lose weight.
Right. But what was interesting, I had 2 overeats in there, but okay. it was also not eating as well, which you would think that would make.
No, I just, happen. We want no thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm going to show everybody what your brain's doing.
Yeah.
I want to know what actions, and you keep giving me all the thoughts as to why you didn't lose weight. You've not really given me anything. What you have done this whole call, though, is decided the reason why you didn't lose weight for 3 weeks is because, well, I don't like taking up space. It must be this really deep-rooted boogeyman of 10 years of therapy. And it's like, when we get off that topic, it's like, well, it's work. I have these things that really set me up to get off plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you need to just know the only reason you didn't lose weight for 3 weeks is because you were overeating. It was not work. It was not this idea you're taking up space and stuff. It's like in the moment when it was time to eat plan or not, you made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so important because I watch you guys do this all the time. If you will focus on why did I decide to overeat in that moment, what was going on there, and not let it be this huge unraveling story you've got to untangle, that slows it all down. We can untangle all this if you want to, but let's lose weight while we do it.
Right.
And when you try to commingle them, like go back to that urges workshop, I think for you, did you do the urges workshop?
I did. It was helpful.
Listen to them again. Like you're probably really primed and ready to listen to those lessons again.
Okay.
Because it's everything. Because you've kind of like had so much success. And when you're not experiencing success, you're looking for things to blame.
Yes.
You're going to therapy rather than going to, here's my data. I was on vacation. I ate off plan. I know next time to plan better for vacation. Oh, I wasn't getting sleep. That's got to get back on the priority list.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not prioritizing it, then that's when we ask why.
Right.
We're like, all right, why am I not prioritizing weight? Or sleep. And then the other part is like, why are you blaming work for overeating? Like, tell me why tell me the thought of like why work is responsible for your food.
I don't know if I consciously think that work is responsible for my food.
No, but that's what you're doing.
Yes, yes. It is what I'm doing. And what truly happens, and I know this for certain, is I take my work very seriously, maybe more seriously than I should sometimes. And I will allow myself to get to a point where I haven't eaten. Mm-hmm. And then I need something that's going to make me feel good. And then that feeling of eating feels good in the moment. I am conscious of my two. And I think what happens is I get past it. And then it's almost like, well, screw it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is it helpful to think that when you eat, it feels good in the moment?
No.
Yeah. And you just said it. Like, I need something that's going to make me feel good. And it does.
Yeah.
So what is the real story? What happens when you're actually eating? Because this is what we want to untangle. Because this is important for a lot of you guys. I want you to really hear this. The story you tell yourself about your overeats is going to be the story that's going to tell me whether or not you're going to stop them or not. So Emily's example is the story she tells herself is, when I start eating, it makes me feel good. And that's what I need in the moment. And that's why I do it. She says it like, this is the circumstance, rather than my thought about when I'm eating after X amount of hours at work, because this is the real circumstance. 12 hours at work, food in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the circumstance. Your thought is, I need something that's going to make me feel good. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a belief. That's not a fact. And so what we want to do is like know those little ones. And then we need to like come up with the new story so that the next time we have 12 hours and all this other stuff, we never tell ourselves ever again. Like, you're going to hear yourself go to, I just need something to make me feel good in the moment, and be like, oh yeah, wait, food does not make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what food does. It can energize me. It can add weight. It can take weight away. It can do those things, but it never creates a feeling in me ever again.
That's hopeful.
Now, you will have that conversation. You may still overeat.
Right.
And it may take 30 times of having that conversation before the 31st time when you're like, you know what? I am not eating over this time.
Right.
I've conditioned myself now appropriately to understand I'm not going to feel good. Even because here's what I would gather that happens when you're eating. Are you sitting there going, oh my God, best decision ever. This is like Christmas. I mean, if I could have this all the time, is that what you're feeling?
No.
No. What are you doing? You're just eating.
Yeah.
And you're not experiencing what you were.
That's right.
That is what I want all of you to see, is that you tell yourself the story, you feel good, I need something to make me feel good. It's like, what's really happening is I am eating and I am avoiding feeling what I was feeling.
Right.
And I can always do that with my brain if I choose to.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things I want you guys to tell yourself. Like, this is so beautiful how you brought this right on the heels of Cindy talking about shame, something completely different. But it's the idea of, like, Emily, are you willing to have this conversation?
Yes.
For like 2 more years until it's very automatic. And across all that time, you'll end up losing weight. You'll still have weeks you won't.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't be eating the same way anymore. And eating differently means like the next time you have this happen, the next time it, you know, this work cycle starts, be prepared to have that conversation. And, you know, you'll either decide to do it or you won't, but something new has happened. A step forward has happened. Whether you lose weight that week, whether you eat on plan or you don't, something significant will shift in that moment. And you got to be willing for each one of those small moments to be just as impactful as the moment that says, you know what? I've learned my lesson, never overeating again and losing all the weights.
Right.
Like, that lesson has to have equal value and importance as the full on, I did it perfectly. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you're going to lose all the weight you ever want and more. And keep it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do
it. What other thoughts do you have? Anything else? Or questions?
I mean, I have lots of thoughts all the time, but I think that those are the biggest ones. Like if I think about the themes of my TDLs and just in general, what kind of has gotten me to having the weight that I do now, that's really what it is. And
I tell you what I want to do separately. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What do you want? And then I'll tell you this. I won't forget. I promise.
I just want to break the cycle of it. You know, I know that I am worthy. I know I do really good work in the world. I take care of my friends and my family. I know all of those things logically. That's why I even hesitated to talk about it today, because logically I know.
Yeah.
But it's there. It just sits with me a lot. So that's why it's what I chose to talk about today.
Here's what I want you to do. Two things. I want you to tell yourself every single day what you're doing right. Like start your TDLs with how right you are.
Okay.
You got to really believe this. Cindy, if you're still listening, you need to be doing the same thing. For all of you that have that are so hard on yourselves, please start your TDLs off with a few things that are right about you every day, even when you feel like complete butt, just do it anyway to get into the habit of doing it. The other thing is, I want you to redefine I take care of my friends. I do all these things. I want you to start figuring out how that is you showing up and taking up amazing space in the world. Rather than being like, I'm so afraid to take up space. I mean, obviously someone who loves people and does all that is filling the world quite well. You're not like, you need to quit telling yourself that you're afraid to take up space. You're obviously not. Like you need to be having that kind of level of conversation at this point with yourself and just been like, this is no longer acceptable. I take up amazing space in this world. I'm not going to believe that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep telling myself a new story until like I fucking actually believe it.
Right. I'll do it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. All righty. Bye.
Okay.
Yesenia. I hope I'm saying that right. Probably not. I'm kind of a redneck. All right.
Get it right. Thank you.
Hello. What are we coaching on? First of all, tell me how to say your name.
Yesenia. You said it correctly.
Oh my God. I can't believe that this redneck mouth was able to say that correctly. I'm so terrible about, I can't even pronounce regular four-letter words correctly. Hardly. You've got like what? 7 letters in your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What are we coaching on?
So I was gone for a couple of weeks over 4th of July visiting family in Mexico. Me and the kids were gone. My husband stayed back because he doesn't always get a ton of vacation time. And we're like, okay, we'll go on our own family trip to the beach later on, or, you know, he can go visit his family. And so my brother told me when I got back that he, I guess, made some poor decisions while I was away on 4th of July. And
your husband or your brother?
My husband.
Oh, okay.
My husband. I'll just read. I wrote it down as a circumstance for my model. I put, my husband got drunk with 3 women at our house on 4th of July, and then he hung out with them briefly again the next day, and he didn't tell me. So he basically, you know, they came over, they got drunk all night and didn't leave until the next morning. Like, they slept here on our couches. And, you know, he had opportunities to tell me when I got back, and he didn't. So, and then he didn't.
What does it mean that he didn't tell you? What is your, I can't wait. What's your unintentional thought about this one?
I wrote down, like, I'm done. He betrayed me. He doesn't really love me. Like, I don't trust him anymore. But I don't know if I did these models correctly or I put too much.
Fine. You have a lot of models. Let's put it this way. So each one of those things is a separate model in itself. So I'm done is a model.
Yeah.
He betrayed me is another model.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? I can't trust.
Like, he doesn't really love me and there's zero trust.
He doesn't really love me.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
I don't know, because I think, like, if he did this, then, like, you know, like, why would he have done it if he really loved me, you know?
Well, why did he? Like, I want you to, like, this is going to be a painful experience.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing's gone wrong except for your brain. And we're going to, like, explore all the various ways that your brain is, like, frying out. But your brain's mm-hmm. going to the deuter. And yeah. I want you to, like, show your brain it can go a different way. And then you can choose what you want. This is not like me saying, oh, there's a better way and let's just do it this way. This is more like, I just want you to see that there's a lot of different ways to look at this other than just assuming worst case scenario, which is where your brain goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, that just logically makes sense. Like, if you really love somebody, you don't make a decision like that.
So in your world, if you love someone, you don't get drunk with other women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially if you made a
the king. Sorry. Tell me why literally this is so bad for you.
Because these are like single women from his work that my brother kind of knows them, and because he used to work there too. And I mean, they just literally pride themselves on, you know, going out with married men and
okay, well, that's their problem.
You know, I don't know. Just we've spoken about boundaries before and what's okay and what's not okay. And it would have been different if he had told me, hey, is it okay? Like, I'm going to have some friends over on 4th of July and we're going to.
Oh, wait.
You know, he
Let
didn't
me stop
tell
you
me.
Right okay. there. Let's play that one out. You're in Mexico with the kids.
Right.
He's at home and he calls you and he says, hey, like, we got all these boundaries. I'm going to have some women over and we're all going to get drunk. And I'm going to let them sleep on the couch and we're going to have an amazing time. Just wanted to let you know ahead of time. And you're going to be like, oh yeah. Cause you just told me it'd be okay.
If it was guys and girls and, you know, it's our friends.
No. You said if he had, like, ooh, watch the video. I want to show you where your brain is, like, creating a really big story that's causing you pain. And if you can neutralize this story, then you'll be able to decide how you want to think about it. Right now you think, like, it's logical. It's logical that people don't do this. Like, no, it's not. Guys have female friends all the time. That's how we know it's not logical. It's just, he had people over, they drank. You said, well, if he had told me ahead of time, and I was like, well, you'd be really okay in sanctioning that? And you're like, well, no, not really. It would have to be this way before I would sanction it. Do you see how your brain is like cycling one fact and making it extra painful for you?
I don't know, like.
I just want you to, I am not trying to get you to think differently about this. Right. Other than one thing. I want you to take ownership that the reason why you're sad and the reason why you're upset and the reason why it feels bad is because you have a lot of thoughts around what happened. It is not because he did anything. His weekend and your weekend is now a circumstance that we need to decide what you want to think about it that gets a result for you that works for you. Not for him, not for the kids, not for anybody else. And right now the result may be like to just figure out how you want to think and feel about this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's where I've been struggling with the most, I think. And I mean, this is the first time I'm even crying about it. You know, I've like teared up a little bit, but it feels like I've just been kind of numb about it and like not even knowing how to feel, like going this way, then that way. And
let's just go to this place right now where your husband had three women over. Everyone had too much to drink. They slept on the couch. Can we just like agree that that's what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You got to agree though.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the circumstance. Those are like the facts of what happened with no thoughts or feelings in there. So,
yeah. And that is one model. You have a separate model. The other model that you want to work on, and I think this is where it starts getting muddy. This is why your brain cannot figure out what to think and feel at this point. You have a separate model of, he didn't tell me. My brother did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole, like, I think that model is the one that's causing so much pain. I think that model, because over here, I know where your brain's going. That was wrong.
Yeah, like in my view, that's still not okay.
And that's fine. And this is, but let me just say this. Without this other model where he didn't tell you, if he had just told you, would it be different?
I guess it wouldn't be as painful because, you know.
A different thought. Tell me what the thought would be.
You know, he lied. Like, I don't like the lies. Like, he should have been honest.
He wouldn't have lied at this point. At this point, he would have just been like, when you got home, hey, I just want to let you know, I had these three chicks over and we all got drunk and they slept on the couch and, you know, that's what happened.
I guess my thought would have been like, why did he feel the need to have three female friends over?
Okay,
like,
that's not a thought. That's a question.
Okay. But it's still not okay, you know?
Right.
We're a married couple.
Yeah, it would have just been like, that's not okay. And you'd have a conversation about it. But the problem is you can't get there. You're done not trusting and all this other stuff because you have this other model you're not resolving first.
Okay. So there's like two pieces to it, basically, is what you're saying.
Always separate models. So you have like two separate circumstances. That's why we want to pull them apart.
Okay.
Otherwise, when your model was, he had three chicks over, blah, 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 and he didn't tell me. And you have like that's why you had 1,000 thoughts in your model.
Yeah.
Because you have different models going on. So let's just work on him not telling you. What are you making it mean that he didn't tell you? Give me three sentences about he didn't tell me.
Like he wasn't gonna tell me. Like he would have just kept it to himself.
I wonder why. I mean, shit, if you're going to flip your wig, you're not exactly giving him a good reason to be like, by the way, I know how calm and collected you always are around women. It'd be like Chris telling me half the bullshit he does. Like, I'm just an angry person half the time. Like, that's just me. I like to roll angry, right?
Yeah, I mean, he did say that.
Myself sometimes when he tells me shit, because I'm like, I can't believe you just told me that, knowing that I'm an angry person. All right, so one thought is he would have never told me.
Mm-hmm.
And what's another thought?
Sorry, tell me the question again.
Oh, it's just the circumstance. We just want three thoughts about why, like, he didn't tell me, my brother did.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I can't even think straight.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, like, I guess, like, the same thought, like, he doesn't love me, or there's some reason he's not happy if, you know, he's feeling the need to spend time with three other women, like, I don't know.
So he's not happy in our marriage. And give me a third one.
I don't know, like there's something wrong. There's something going on.
Do you, and I'm just going to ask because you haven't said it, but do you believe that nothing happened other than just?
I think so, but most of it is probably because my brother was here most of the night and, you know, just kind of like if he hadn't been here, I don't know. It would have been hard to, you know, believe him and trust him. because it's like, did nothing really happen, or is he just saying that because he doesn't want, you know, to make things worse?
What if nothing really happened? What if you were on vacation, he was bored, and he had a good time and you weren't there? What if it has nothing to do with how much he loves you?
I don't know. Like, I think for both of us, like, if you had asked us before this had happened, and, you know, we've kind of had that discussion, you know, like, that's not okay, especially, like, not telling the other person or just hanging out with the opposite sex by yourself.
Has this happened before and y'all had to have this conversation?
I don't think this has happened before, but we've kind of talked about boundaries before. We're like,
so tell me exactly what your boundary is, because you keep saying boundaries. This is not really a boundary thing.
Okay.
Boundaries are when somebody is emotionally or physically violating you.
Okay, right. I have heard.
This is more like, hey, this is like an agreement we're going to make in our marriage.
Yeah, like what's okay and what's not okay.
Yeah, and it's like, so when you had that discussion, did you just like, I'll tell you, one of the things that I don't want you doing in our marriage is like hanging out with chicks and getting drunk.
We talked about like not messaging, like him not messaging girls or me not messaging guys or,
Okay. So the rule isn't real clear right now.
Yeah. Or I mean, we've said like, you know, if someone is attractive or something, okay, that's fine. If you think someone else is attractive, but I guess not really like, okay, we're not going to like go act on that. Or if it's somebody, I don't know.
I just want you to see that you think in this relationship that there was this clear boundary that no one should ever walk across. And then when I ask you, well, tell me about the conversation and stuff, like you're confused as fuck. It's like, well, we kind of talk about like texting. If you're confused, I'm going to probably bet he doesn't know about it.
I don't know. Part of me is like, well, if it's one of those things where before you know, when you're in that moment or you're thinking about doing something, you know, it's almost like you do this little test of like, okay, if he were to do this, would I be okay with it? You know,
I think the biggest,
and I, he wouldn't be okay if I did this, you know?
Well, he probably wouldn't. Y'all would need to have a conversation. But you don't need to like say we're done with our marriage. He doesn't love me. She doesn't love me. Like, I just want you to see that there's a lot of different ways to look at this. Like, you could literally be looking at this as really simple. I don't like this behavior. I should probably have a conversation with him about it. But I only am going to do it when I'm not in judgment over it. When I'm not thinking he's wrong for doing it, when I'm not thinking that it means he doesn't love me, when I stop that shit spiral and I just take it back down to brass tacks of, you know what? This is not what I like in my marriage. I tried it on. Doesn't feel good. I prefer you not to hang out with chicks. What do you think? I won't hang out with guys when you're out of town. Like, it could be like that, or it can be a complete emotional shit show, which is what you're experiencing right now. That he doesn't love me. There's all these things. What if he just made a poor decision?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need a conversation. We don't have to get divorced over it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, in my world, this would be like perfectly fine if we did end up breaking up over it, because it, you know, like when it did something that was not okay, and there's like, I don't trust him anymore.
Well, that's fine too. If you don't trust him and stuff, but I want you to be honest that it's a decision you're making and it's not because he did something. Because if that's all it takes, you need to just be honest with yourself. If all it takes is one time my husband has drinks with chicks while I'm out of town for me to end my marriage, there were problems before. This is what I'm wanting you to see, is that you're hinging some, you think this one thing is a problem. This is a model. It is a circumstance. And you need to dig in to like, why, like I would ask myself, why does it take one thing for me to not trust him so much, to be willing to end my marriage over? What's really going on with me? Whatever your answer is fine. But you will make a decision you'll never regret, you'll never question, and you'll never be a victim of if you aren't a victim in the situation.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Why is that so upsetting?
No, I feel like we're coming from big, like you're over here, and I just, it's hard to see where you're coming from.
All I want you to see is that you owe it to yourself to understand thinking about this. So much of your thinking, you think, is logical, makes sense, everybody would agree with me, all these kinds of things, and they make you cry like this. And when you have this much emotion, one, I want you to feel it, but I just want you to take ownership that his night with three women drinking causes the pain. It's because you don't trust him. It's what you say, he doesn't love me. Like, I just want you to see that that's what causes the pain so that you can, like, is this the man I want to be with? I'm going to tell you, when you decide to stay or when you decide to go in a marriage, you need to like your reason for why you're doing it. If you ever think it's because of someone else's fault, whether you stay or whether you leave, you're hosing yourself. That's what I'm trying to get to.
I'm just like finding it really hard to, like, I'm trying to understand, but I can't.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do that'll make it like a first step. The night that he spent with them and the three people and him not telling you, those two models, you need to like agree with yourself, like, that's not wrong. It's just my decision about whether I make it wrong or not. Just stepping into the idea that if it's wrong in your book, that's okay. Just know it's wrong because that's your book, not because it is wrong. So many of us like can't break a cycle of pain because we think something's being inflicted on us. And it's really hard to make decisions for yourself. It would be like if Chris cheated on me. I mean, I've been cheated on before several times, not by him, but by others. If Chris cheated on me, my thought would never be, he's wrong. Because if he's wrong, he hurt me, he shouldn't have done that, I'm going to feel horrible. And I'm never going to deal with myself. And I'm never going to make a decision for me. I'm going to be reacting to his behavior. What I would be thinking if Chris cheated on me would be, that's not good enough in my book. I don't accept that for myself. I would still be hurt, but I would also know that it wasn't because he has the power to hurt me. It would be because, like, I choose to be angry about this. I choose to be hurt about this. and I'm going to make decisions for me. I am not ever going to make a decision reacting upon how someone else acts. And I think right now you're in the cycle of like, I'm done. I'm all these things because he was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. Had he not done that, life would be so much better. He had to just told me. You see where your brain spirals out on, if he had told me, it would have been so much better. It's like, no, you wouldn't feel any better. Can you imagine? If the second you walked in with the kids and you put them to bed, he said, I just want to let you know I had a rousing time with three ladies and we were all drunk. You'd be like, oh, I feel really good. I was so worried about you not telling me the truth. But that's what your brain does. When it thinks he's wrong versus like, how do I want to think about this? Is this either okay or not okay in my book? And if I want to, like, if I want to stay or if I want to go, I'm going to be doing it because I believe in me, not because I don't believe in him.
Yeah, it's just hard to wrap my head around it. Like, I'm trying to understand what you're saying about, like, this needs to come from me. I'm still a little bit confused about that.
Just watch the video. Like, I would probably watch this video, especially the last half, like 5 times. Like, let it really sink in. Let it really sink in. And I'm going to tell you, the most painful work I'm going to give you is going to be the hardest. But I want you to, your brain knows how, like, bad this is for you. It is locked and loaded that there's nothing good here. We can't find any good. I want you to like force yourself to rewrite everything you're thinking and believing about this 5 ways, like 5 different ways of how this is not terrible. It doesn't have to be unicorns and daisies, but I'll give you one. Like, for instance, you could say, of course he wouldn't tell me. He was afraid that I would have the exact reaction that I am. He probably, after it was all over with, imagined I would be hot ass mad. She doesn't even like me texting women, much less hanging out drunk on a couch. There's no way in hell I'm going to tell her. Like, I want you to think, like, I want you to like expand your brain on this to just like the possibility that there's other stories to choose from. And then you get to decide what you want to do with it all. But if you will do that, it will put you in such an empowered position to decide what you really want to do next. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you decide and you're done and not trusting him and stuff, that is just your visceral reaction. That's not really what you want. You know how I know? Because you signed up for a coaching call on it. Because if you were like half of us that are just angry ass hulks that run around, you would have been like, I'm on this coaching call because I've just packed my bags and left my husband.
Yeah, I mean, we're separated as of now. And I told him I just don't know what I want to do next. You know, so.
You figure it out. You can.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I do it, like you said, from like me, not like just visceral reactions. It's just like, I feel like I don't know how to navigate this or how to think about things. Like, am I thinking about things correctly or not?
You just, like, I promise you, the way that when I have very painful situations I have to work through is you've done the work on telling the story you're telling yourself now. Like, get that out. And then you tell yourself different stories. And then you think, like, you just let your brain explore, what do I want? And let it have a lot of play. Like, I want out, and here's all my reasons why. I want to stay, and here's all the reasons why. And you just allow all of it to be on paper so that it's not just swimming in there and confusing you and hurting you. Because if you don't believe anything that I tell you, is I want you to hang on to the idea that the only reason why you're in pain is it's all because of all the things thinking about all of this. If you can own that one piece, then you get to decide, do you want the pain or not? What you do want to feel and what you don't. And you start taking ownership of what you're going to be doing versus it just being like, I'm just mad and reacting. And now I'm just, I don't know, and doing nothing and apathetic and all over the place. It's like, this is where we really test our mental strength. Like, we all think like saying no to a ding dong at 8 o'clock at night is hard. No, being on purpose and deliberate with your thinking in the middle of this will make any overeat from now on seem like a fucking walk in the park. I promise you. This is where we know when we're like really bought into the idea of having our own back. Do you have an accountability group?
I did. We've kind of like lost touch and I've fallen out of it. Okay. I need to look for a new one. Or
we need to get you hooked up with a couple of people. Betsy, get her information. And let's figure out a couple of people who are really good. We probably have somebody who's really good with thought work and questions and stuff who's also been through something similar. Let's try to find someone like that. I'm sure we will find you a couple people and we will message you through support. We will get you hooked up with a couple people. I want you to lean on some people, though. You're not alone in this. So don't need to be alone. That's the last thing that you'll need is to be trying to, like, we'll help you figure out as much as we can. Also, use Ask Coaches. If you do these things I told you to do and you're just like, I did what Corinne said, but now what? Like, I just got lots of words on paper and I don't know what to do with them. Shove that shit into Ask Coaches and we'll coach you through it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Corinne.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. And guys, I want to just say those calls are usually tough. I understand. And I know that what I want you guys to see especially when it comes to, you know, like when infidelity or abuse and things like that, at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility that our thoughts cause our own pain. I think the hardest calls I ever do to get you guys to really understand it is always these. But if you will listen to them and really understand like all of her thoughts, that's what causes her pain. So if we can get her to just see that and like own that piece, she gets to decide how long she wants to be in the pain. Is she willing to feel it? Because like I have had situations where I've been very hurt over things. And I have stayed in the hurt on purpose because I didn't think that person was hurting me anymore. It was like, no, you know what? I am hurt. I really don't like this. And I'm going to hurt on purpose. And hurting is not eating. And hurting is not running away. And hurting is not staying someplace I don't need to stay. It's like all of those things. You get to define how you deal with the negative side of our emotional life. And I think that's the most powerful work we ever do here. All right, I just had to say that. Okay. And you get to cry all you want, Yesenia. This is a crying crowd. Are you kidding me? All right, Allison, what are we coaching on?
Hi, Corinne. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm feeling
You're
bad.
Welcome. Yeah, you look fabulous too. I love red on you.
Yeah, this is a Republic on sale if anybody wants it.
This is my first coaching call. I joined in January and I have lost 20 pounds since then.
Hey.
And I thought that I wanted to talk about losing and gaining the same 5 pounds over and over again. But when I look at the data, that's actually not what's happening. I have been steadily decreasing over the past 6 months. So I went back in preparation of this call and looked at the data and realized that I've done my plans, written my plans and assessed my plans 85% of the time. And I'm on plan 83% of the time. And the times that I go off historically, you know, like everyone, is the weekend.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about moving away from this thought that I really love drinking and it's really fun for me to party with my friends.
So tell me why you want to move away from it.
Well, I feel conflicted because on the one hand, I'm losing weight, right? And I am coming at my weight loss from this place of self-love and feeling really good about it. Weight loss, like in general, is feeling easy. It's the easiest that it's ever felt. But there's this side of me that thinks I could have more success if I wasn't drinking so much.
Okay. So that's a good, I love this. I love this call. All right. I'm already going to be in love with it. It's really fun. It's a very easy switch.
Yeah.
So I want you to think like it's been fun I've told myself it's fun in the past. It's not so much fun anymore because the fun is in losing this weight faster.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be telling yourself that. And here's the thing. You're going to really believe the drinking is fun. It isn't to say that it's not. It's for you to just understand that is not a useful thought, though, for the goal that I want. That thought, although feels true, and if I want to include, like if you want to include drinking, I just don't think I'm including it anymore because it's fun. I'm going to include drinking because it's like, all right, it's a part of the plan. This is all I'm doing. Like I'm going to neutralize that this is not a fun event or any kind of event. This is just, it would be like saying, can you help me? Like I put kale on my plan. And sometimes when I go for the kale, I'm just like, oh my God, kale's so fun. It's like you really, like if I was to put kale on your plan, what would your thought be?
I mean, I really like kale. So I'd be like, oh, great. Like it's, I feel good when I eat that.
But I really want you to think about like, if it was just like, you just read your 24-hour plan and you read by kale, would you be like, ooh, that's going to be the fun part of the day.
Oh no. I would just be like, oh,
there's the fun kale
today. Yeah. Yeah. It would just be like, oh, there's my green. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
that's what I want you to do with drinking though.
Yeah. There's my drinks.
When it's on plan, I don't want you to be like, ooh, wait, this is giddy. This is exciting.
Yeah.
We want to neutralize it. We want it to be kale.
Right. And it's because it was funny when you were asking Emily on the call earlier, if when she was saying like, I eat, you know, to find whatever relief from work or whatever. And you asked her if she actually like feels that when she's eating. I was like, yeah, when I drink, like I feel like I am like, this is the best. This is so much fun. Like I have three drinks and I'm like, I want another. Like this is.
But this is the problem that a lot of you run into. And you're onto yourself, but most of you run into this. You think the alcohol is causing the fun feeling.
Right.
It's not.
I know. And I've heard you think this.
This is amazing. I'm drinking. It's on my plan. Thank God I found B&P. Like that's the fun part.
I will tell you, I will like argue. Then my brain goes to like, no, actually like alcohol does change the brain. Like kale doesn't change the brain. Alcohol is changing the brain, right? So like, I think it is making it feel fun. I mean,
it's not. It's
not. Like justifying it for myself, right?
You were someone, let's say that you were, I have a lot of friends. It's so funny. I'm like Catholic as all fuck. And I have all these Mormon friends now. We always joke about it. So I have all these LDS friends.
Yeah.
If I made them drink, they would be like, well, you know, it's the chemistry in the brain. I guess it's going to have to be fun. No, they're like, we go to hell for that.
Yeah. They'd
be like, I know I'm drinking. I might get a buzz, but I'm going to be worried as fuck. I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Their thoughts around it would be really different.
Right.
If you saw like a 7-year-old drinking, would you be like, it's going to be fun. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely not. That's a great way to think about it.
I just wanted to show you though, like you're attributing it, like you're arguing that the alcohol is the fun.
Right.
Allison is bringing the heat in her brain around how fun.
Yeah, right. Because like my nephew yeah, my 7-year-old nephew is drinking. I'm not like, oh, Henry's going to have a great time now. Yeah. That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's more about, so putting alcohol on my plan.
I want you to neutralize, first of all, yeah. I want you to neutralize your thoughts around it. Like, okay. We don't have to make alcohol a villain. It just is alcohol. I just feel like it's alcohol. I don't need to be giddy and excited because the problem with your model, because a lot of us, we get confused when we have a model that feels good. We think, it's like an intentional one. All the intentional ones feel good, right? No.
Yeah.
Your model, giddy and excited around alcohol, the result is weight loss has slowed.
Yeah.
And you're wanting a model where weight loss moves faster.
Yeah.
And you've identified the part of my weight loss journey that's slowing it down is my alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
So if I want a model where weight loss is, you know, happening faster, my action line is going to be drink less.
Right.
And your feeling can't be giddy and excited.
Right.
Because drinking less at first feels like ass.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
And I don't want like neutral to be in the feeling line, right? Like the feeling.
You can I think you need to have a model where eventually you get to neutral with alcohol. It's just like,
okay,
I have a girlfriend. She and I have these conversations all the time because she's a binge eater and I like to drink.
You know?
And she's always telling me like, oh my God. Cause like sweets, I could care less.
Same.
They brought me birthday cake on my birthday. Just like from Del Frisco's, it's supposed to be this amazing thing or whatever. And I just looked at it and I said, y'all, I'm not really all that hungry. I was like, I didn't plan for cake today. Like, but it's your birthday and it's free, you know?
Yeah.
And I just said, who wants it? And so my girlfriend and I joke about this all the time because there's no chatter for me. Now, free wine, stuff like that. All the chatter, we're having a good time. Like, oh, I just, you know, whatever. And she's just like, I'm not going to drink tonight. Like, I got to run in the morning. It's just a no brainer. So we always want to trade places. You know, like if I had my superpower around alcohol and she had my superpower around sweets, we'd be a mighty duo. So it's like, that's what we want to get to. You want to be like Jane when it comes to my friend's name is Jane. You want to be like Jane around alcohol. It's like, I got goals. Like if this either fits in or it doesn't, I planned it or I didn't. This is not like an exciting event. It doesn't mean that when you have wine, it's like, oh, I'm having a drink. It tastes good. Like, doesn't mean that it can't be fun.
Yeah.
You're not attributing the alcohol to the fun. Just be like, you know, it's fun to have one because when I have one, I lose weight.
Yeah. How do I get there? How do I get to that thought?
Oh, it's a lot of not drinking when you want to.
Okay.
That's how you get there.
Yeah.
Because what you have to do is you have to prove to yourself your goal's fun. You have to prove to yourself you're not going to die or get pregnant if you don't drink.
Yeah.
You have to prove to yourself that you can hang out with your friends and not have a drink and be totally distracted and be very restless and everybody want one for you and all this other stuff. All of that is just part of the process. And then once you do it a few times, you're no longer freaking out over it. Right now, the problem is the anticipation of the freak out already feels bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm already envisioning. This is not going to be fun. I'm going to get there. It's going to be extra not fun. It's like, that's why like we got to quit thinking that drinking is fun because you're not going to in the moment decide to have an ass time if immense excitement is, you know, the other.
Right.
Like, I want you to spend some time writing about why you're willing to not drink, why it will be so valuable and so good to go out with your friends sometimes. And it doesn't mean to say like, I don't know if you need to cut all the drinking.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. So what is this relationship you want? Like, how much do you want to be drinking? Like, what do you drink now on the weekends and what do you think it needs to go to?
Yeah. So I'm very attached to writing a realistic plan. So typically on my realistic plan, I'll put like 6 drinks, knowing that like I'll probably have 4, like maybe I'll have 5, but that's usually like where I stop. And so then part of me is like, well, why don't I just try having 3 drinks? Why don't I try having 4 drinks?
So why not just say like 4 for the next 3 weeks is the cutoff?
Yeah.
We're no longer indulging in six land. We're ready. We're taking the training wheels off of the realistic plan and being like, you know, most of the time I only drink 4. Now I just need to learn how to not talk myself into more.
Yeah.
My next phase is like, let's get it to 4. Let's cut out this bullshit, talking ourselves into a 5 and planning a 6 just in case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause how bad of a time are you going to have drinking 4 drinks?
Right. 4 instead of 5. Right. Like that's just my like toddler coming out.
Right. Cause the worst.
Or my drunk self, right. Or my drunk self being like, oh, I've had 4 drinks. I want another.
The worst part will be 4 drinks. You will want the 5th and the conversation will feel very legit.
Yeah. Yep.
It will be stupid, but it will feel legit. It'll be like,
no,
screw that, Corinne.
Yes.
You need another, you know, it'll be all the things, right?
Yes.
So you have to anticipate that. So this is what you need to do. You need to anticipate that happening.
Yeah.
You need to have a ride or die with you.
Yeah.
Like, you've got friends. This is when you'll know if they're true friends. Just say like, who do you go out with? Who's your girl that you're going to like, who's the person that you can like tag?
Probably my friend who has a newborn.
Okay. You make newborn friend. What's her name?
Her name's Val.
All right.
She's great because she has a reason to stop drinking now because she's got a newborn.
Oh, how funny. She has a thought. It's not the newborn. Her thought is she breastfeeding?
I want to be a responsible mom. Yeah. She's breastfeeding. Yeah.
Because trust me, there's plenty of moms out there that drink like a fish when they have a baby. So it's not because of the newborn.
True.
So here's the thing. I want you to like have an honest conversation with Val and just say like, look, I'm ready to lose weight a little bit faster.
Yep.
And I'm going to do this crazy thing and I'm only going to drink 4 drinks when we go out.
Yeah.
And I know you got my back because you're breastfeeding and I am going to be ridiculous on drink 4.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to look at you and hide from you and I'm going to beg you. And I know all my shenanigans, but I need you to remind me that I have goals.
Yeah.
And do this for me. Like you need to like give the emotional plea of your life.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that helps a drunk in the middle of it is somebody else. And it can't be a loved one. Cause like I do that with Chris and most of them I just yell.
Oh yeah. Yes. My husband is no help. He drinks more than I do. Can I ask one connecting question with us? So I think one of the areas where one of the ways in which I argue with myself is that I say like, oh, but I'm doing so great. I'm losing it. Like I'll live it. Like this is, if weight loss is working, like if I'm still able to, I guess it goes back to like, if I'm still able to have this fun and lose weight, like why would I change that?
None of those thoughts are bad. You just need a disclaimer on the end of them. It's like, I'm losing it like I live it. I'm doing all these other things. And it is fucking amazing that I can do it on 4 drinks instead of 5.
Yeah.
You need to like add that in. Cause guess what's going to happen? How much more weight you want to lose?
I want to lose another 25 pounds.
Okay. So this is what's going to be fun. You're going to lose like the next 5 a little faster cause you're not drinking as much.
Yeah.
And then that's not going to work.
And then I know.
Like 2 or 3 and you're gonna have to have the same conversation of like, I think I'm gonna have to drink a little less.
Yeah.
It's gonna have to happen. And then you're gonna like, this is what I want you to do though, on a deeper level. Like we're just doing weight loss strategy.
Yeah.
I want you to think at an elevated level of what is the relationship that I actually want with alcohol now?
Yeah.
Like, do I want to be drinking this? I'm not judging you. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. But I want you, I have done this work with myself.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like used to just drink 2 or 3 glasses a night and think that I needed it every night to decompress, like all the things.
Yeah.
And I really got an ass full of myself. It was like, that's not who I want to be. Like I really sat around and thought about, do I want to be the kind of person who sometimes can even just go out with friends, not drink, be okay, maybe have chatter, but then like be proud. Like, is that what I want? Yeah. And I really started, like, it took me a long time. And I started thinking, I do.
So yeah.
This weekend, we had the meetup. I was tired and I really wanted to have a drink. I planned a drink. And then I sat there and I thought, I don't want to be drinking with my tribe members because I've had a bad day.
Yeah.
I'm tired and I'm on my period. Yeah. I was like, you know what? That's when you start really deciding the relationship you really want to have with alcohol and stuff. And you want it to be like, no, when I plan it, this is what I have. And this is, and I like that about myself. In those moments, it makes it so much easier to choose different for yourself.
Yeah. I feel myself, I feel myself getting there. Like starting to
writing about it. Like I probably for months and months about the relationship I wanted, who I wanted to be while I was still drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Before I gave up the behavior, I really just got good at showing up for the plan. Kind of like you. You remind me so much of myself. Like, I think you're ready for four. And I think you're ready for the next step of like really defining the relationship you want.
Yeah.
And does it play well with the bigger things I want in my life?
Right. Right. Together.
And that's for me to decide, not to think alcohol decides.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to feel that way. It'd be great. Awesome.
This is a good call. I love a good drinking call. I struggle with, like, some of us it's food and some of us it's booze, you know? It's just,
Like, I got the food on lockdown. Like, the food's good for me, but,
let me ask you this.
Drinking. Yeah. Even when drinking, I'm now at like a point where I'm not like grazing.
Let me ask you this. So when you first started PNP, what was your thought about food? It wasn't, I got this on lockdown.
No, not at all. And that's the craziest thing that, like, when I first joined, so I joined in January, I was like, who are these people who eat emotionally? Like, what is emotional eating? Like, that's not me. Like, I don't eat ice cream on the couch. Like, no. And of course, like through all this thought work, I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm an emotional eater. Like, I eat for celebration. I mean, I've, you know, backed off, but like I eat for celebration. I eat for distraction. I eat for, because of boredom, like blah, 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 blah.
Should have punched Val in the shoulder and said, why didn't you tell me?
I know. Well, I keep saying to my husband, I'm like, Ian, like, it is crazy how much less I'm eating now just because I'm not like mindlessly wandering into the kitchen when I no longer want to like do my client work, or because it's 4 o'clock and it seems like I should have a snack. Like, I mean, the relationship with food has absolutely changed in the past 6 months. And I mean, it's all because of PNP, obviously.
No, it's because you did the work. But the reason I wanted to point it out was because in the beginning, your thought was not, I have this on lockdown.
No, but no, not at all.
Just exploring and planning and doing that, the relationship with the food has changed. The same thing's going to happen with alcohol. Like, when you are looking for what you want to think about alcohol, like, I want you to develop, rather than it's fun and it's what I do with my friends, I want it to be like, I got this on lockdown.
Yeah.
When I decide no drinking, I got this on lockdown. When I decide it's 2 drinks tonight, I got this on lockdown. I think you, that would be such a, like, use your experience with your food to translate to your experience with your
body. That's a great connection. I hadn't thought about it like that. That makes total sense.
Mm. Ooh, that's
great. Thank you.
I feel great. I don't know about you, but
I do. I mean, we'll see when next Friday rolls around. So I'll report back.
All right. Well, thank you
very much.
All righty.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That's it for today. I will be back tomorrow night. We are going to be kicking off the next phase of the Gift of Fat Challenge, which is good, better, best. And like, just how do we level up our food choices and stuff? And that's what we're going to be practicing next week. So it'll be exciting and all the good things. So I'll see you back tomorrow night. And otherwise, y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.